The message of the cross, justification, verses 21 to 31, and Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. In our autumn teaching series, we're seeking to deepen our understanding and appreciation of Jesus' death on the cross. I hope in this series that there's something for all kinds of people, however long you've been a Christian, or maybe if Christianity is new to you. And today we're exploring the meaning of this Bible word, justification. You may have spotted it a few times in that passage we've just heard in Romans. Romans chapter 3 is going to be our main focus, and then my final points in my conclusion will be from Luke chapter 18, Jesus' parable. So our question today is, what does it mean to say that Jesus' death on the cross justifies a person before God? That's a question to hold in your mind as we go through. Do have Romans chapter 3 open in front of you. There's a Bible underneath your chair, and you can find the reading on page 1131. There's also a talk outline in the service sheet on, I think, page 3, with space for notes if you find that helpful. Well, let's just pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we come to you, we open our hearts to you, and ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit, that we might understand your word to us today. Please speak and give us life. Amen. If you heard the sermon from 3 weeks ago on atonement, we looked at the same Bible passage in Romans 3. And there's so much to unpack in it that's going to be our main focus today. And I have to say, I haven't prepared it. There's still other material in it that I'm not even covering in this talk. Normally when I preach, I've aimed to have three headings, but this time I've got five. But let me encourage you that at least two of them are quite short. So firstly, justification equals 100% righteous before God. Justification is about God looking at your heart, looking at your thoughts, words, and actions, and seeing nothing wrong for which he should judge you. And my aim today is to help you to understand that in the biblical gospel, justification is about God looking at you and seeing you as 100% righteous. And that is a radical idea. The word righteous or righteousness and the word justify and similar words like just and justified occur several times in today's Bible reading. And this shows us that to understand this Bible passage, it is essential that we understand the meaning of these two words. Now, in English, they sound like very different words, don't they? Justify, righteousness, sound very different. But in the original Greek that Romans was written in, they are very similar words. So justify in Greek is the word dikaio, and righteousness in Greek is the word dikaiosune. So you can see it's the same base word, isn't it? Dikaiosune. So the two words go together. And it's very helpful to understand that. When you read the word justify in the Bible, think of righteousness. When you read about being right with God or righteous, think of being justified. The two go together. Now, this is really to say that morally, we should be like God, fully righteous, 100% righteous as God is, living up to the standard of his glory. And here's something to help you understand what righteousness is, because we don't go around talking about being righteous. Indeed, in fact, the only time that word's really used in popular language is talking about someone being self-righteous. And I'll speak briefly about that towards the end of the talk. So it's a slightly strange word for us. But think of when someone gives a false report of something you said or did. Perhaps you can think of a real-life example that's happened quite recently. The desire that rises up in you to put the record straight and to correct the details is your desire to be righteous. In some ways, I think that's what righteousness feels like, or when your righteousness is threatened. It's your desire to be justified, for your reputation and character to align inside yourself, and also to align in the minds of those who know you. And the desire to be righteous is the reason we keep a promise, even when it's inconvenient and costly. It is, in fact, a very normal human desire. When someone's reputation is ruined by articles in the press, and they then take a newspaper to court for libel, that is about protecting their righteousness. We naturally want to be righteous. But if we're honest, we know that we are filled with contradictions of motive and desire. We know that we fail repeatedly to keep our own standards, let alone God's. And Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So no one is truly righteous in God's sight. Yes, when we compare human against human, some are more righteous than others. But in God's sight, everybody falls short. So what should God do about this, as he's both loving and just at the same time? Well, he should punish us for the unrighteousness if he's a just God in his character. But because of his great love for the world, he's presented a way to justify sinners, to make them righteous, and not to make them just a little bit righteous, but to make them 100% righteous. That's the incredible idea in the message of the cross that I want you to understand today. He did this by giving his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In the act of Jesus dying on the cross, God did two things to justify us. He punished our moral guilt, and then he removed our moral guilt. And this is my second point. Justification equals moral guilt punished and removed. We learnt in the Sermon on Atonement 3 weeks ago that in the Old Testament Israelite temple, two goats were presented to God by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. One goat was offered as a sacrifice, the other as a scapegoat. One animal was sacrificed and in so doing took the punishment for the Israelites' moral guilt. The other goat was the scapegoat. The high priest laid his hands on top of the animal's head and transferred all the sins of the Israelites onto the animal. And then the goat was led out into the desert and sent away, far away from the Israelites and where they were camped. So the Israelites were cleansed on the Day of Atonement. And Romans 3:25, if you look down, says this. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. This tells us the amazing truth that when Jesus died on the cross, his job was to serve the same purpose as those two goats in the Israelite temple. And this time, not just for the Israelite community, but for the sins of the whole world. He was punished on the cross for sins. And like the scapegoat, God the Father laid all our moral guilt on Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. Now, I want you to imagine that this hand represents you and me. And this black square represents our moral guilt before God. There it is sitting upon us. This hand represents Jesus Christ. And because God is just, he must punish sin. But because he loves the world, When Jesus was on the cross, he transferred our moral guilt onto Jesus. Jesus took our moral guilt upon himself on the cross. And Jesus was punished instead of us. Let's have a look at verses 23 and 24. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. All have sinned, but God justified us through offering Jesus Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. Justification equals moral guilt punished and removed by God. Now, I began by saying that being justified before God means being 100% righteous in our character and actions. We all know we cannot achieve this. None of us are 100% righteous. We all do speak and think wrong things. But the amazing message of the cross is that through punishing Jesus in our place, God gives Jesus' righteousness to us. So I want you to imagine that this card represents Jesus' righteousness. He never sinned. He was 100% righteous. Imagine that that's Jesus' righteousness on Jesus. And here we are again with our sin, the black square. On the cross, God transferred our sins to Jesus, and he transferred Jesus' righteousness to us. Jesus gets our sin, we get his righteousness. And that righteousness is 100% righteousness. We get righteousness credited to us, which doesn't naturally belong to us. We are clothed and covered in Jesus' righteousness. This righteousness is put on us, even though we're still sinful. And this leads us to the amazing heart of the message of the cross in Romans chapters 3 and 4. And to my third point, justification is by faith. Righteousness is given to us by faith. Please have a look at verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us a righteousness which is not actually ours. It's Jesus' righteousness that gets transferred to us. We get 100% righteousness credited to us because Jesus was punished instead of us. So the extraordinary message of the cross is that we get this 100% righteousness simply by putting our faith, trust, and belief in Jesus Christ as our justifier. Justification is by faith. That's what Romans 3 is saying. Or we could put it, righteousness is given to us by faith. Same idea. In our day-to-day living, we still continue to sin. We're not 100% righteous. But in terms of how God looks at us, in regard to his judgment, he sees Jesus' righteousness instead of our sin. It's a bit like Jesus' righteousness blocks out God seeing our sins. One of the catchphrases for the Bible truths which were rediscovered at the time of the Reformation in the 1500s is that justification is by faith. And more specifically, that justification is by faith alone. And that alone word's very important because we're 100% justified by faith, not 60% or 80%, and then we have to earn the other bit by doing good things for God. No, justification is by faith. And going hand in hand with this is the message that justification is a free gift from God. Verse 24 says that everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's a free gift from God. It's a gift we don't deserve. It's a gift we don't have a right to. It's a gift we cannot earn. Think of the difference between being given £10,000. Sorry, think of the difference between £10,000 that you earn through your job and the gift of £10,000 from your father. The £10,000 from your job is yours by right. You've earned it. Your employer is legally obliged to pay it to you. But the £10,000 from your father, well, that's a gift, isn't it? The gift of righteousness which God gives to those who put their faith in Jesus is just that, a gift. God is under no moral obligation to justify us. Verse 24, we are freely justified by his grace. In fact, God's moral obligation is quite the opposite. Later on in Romans, in chapter 6, verse 23, it says that the wages of sin is death. This is what God owes us. God is morally obliged to give us death. But do you know the second half of that verse? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the message of the cross. We don't get justified before God by keeping his laws. Law-keeping to gain justification was the Jewish culture that Paul, who wrote Romans, was swimming in, and of which he had been a champion. Be righteous by rigorous keeping of God's laws. And many today still think that this is the way to be saved, striving to be good and to do good so that God will accept us. And in this view, God will weigh our good deeds on one hand and our bad deeds on the other. And if we've done more good than bad, then, well, we hope we'll be saved and have a place in his new heavenly kingdom. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is different to this. Please look at verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known. God has made a righteousness available to people of all races and nationalities. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Those who believe are justified freely by his grace. And it can come as an enormous shock to hear this message of the cross. So many people think that religion is primarily about trying to be a better person, trying to be justified by doing good things. It's the basis behind the Hindu model of karma. It's the basis of the Eightfold Path of Buddhism. It's the basis of Islamic righteousness. It's the basis of some Jewish righteousness which doesn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. And many churchgoers think that salvation works in this way. But the message of the cross is that because we can never be good enough in ourselves, God gives the free gift of 100% righteousness. He gives it to all who believe in Jesus Christ and put their faith in him. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your justifier? That's the key question for today. As we come to the end of this message, let's turn briefly to Luke chapter 18. You can find that on page 1052. And we'll look at Jesus' short story where he teaches on righteousness and justification. Jesus' point in this story is about the kind of attitude that we should have before God. So my final point for today is that justification means that a humble attitude is essential. Jesus met people who were confident of their own righteousness. And because of this, they looked down on other people. So he told this short parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, one a tax collector. And Jesus' audience would have understood the Pharisee as the goodie, who was righteous, and the tax collector as the baddie, who was a sinner. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, as Jeanette so helpfully read. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector, in contrast, stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Then Jesus said, I tell you, this man, rather than the other, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus shows us that when it comes to righteousness and justification, our attitude is fundamentally important. The Pharisee thought that he was justified because he avoided big public sins and did good works like fasting and giving away his money. Like many people today, he thought he was earning his righteousness. He thought that he was righteous in and of himself. That is, self-righteous. And this produced an arrogant and superior attitude towards others. But there's no superiority at the foot of the cross. As Paul wrote in Romans 3, verse 27, boasting is excluded. The gospel doesn't allow room for boasting and bragging about our righteousness. There's no self-righteousness at the cross. Because however hard we try, we cannot be fully righteous before God. Each and every person who puts their faith and hope in Jesus Christ comes to the cross as an equal. We're all in need of justification, and God clothes us in royal robes of righteousness that belong to somebody else, Jesus. So everyone, whatever your role or status in church, comes to the cross as an equal. Whether you're serving in the All Saints Club, as a few people are at this very moment, or you're on the coffee rota, or you're the church cleaner, or you're a church warden, or you're the rector, or on the church council, or you're a bishop, or the archbishop, we all come as equals to the cross. No one deserves God's justification, but he justifies us freely by his undeserved grace when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is a wonderful aspect at the heart of the message of the cross. I began with the question, what does it mean to say that Jesus' death on the cross justifies a person before God? And I hope as I state the question again, it's filled with more meaning now as you've listened to this talk. Let me summarize as we finish. Justification equals 100% righteous before God, that radical idea at the center of the message of the cross. Justification equals moral guilt punished and removed. Justification is by faith. Justification is a free gift from God. And justification means that a humble attitude is essential. Let's pray now. I'll give you a moment of quiet to pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Let's pray humbly. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I put my trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem me from my sin. I put my faith in Jesus Christ to justify me 100% before your holy righteousness. I do not deserve your mercy, but I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.